Thanks, Marlene. I was sitting here racking my brain to think of what the melody was, and it's that song, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." How does it begin? Da 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 da. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, I didn't realize so many of you knew that. Great. Sorry for those of you who didn't know that. Well, we're continuing in our study of the book of Acts. We're at chapter 8 now. I understand the youth class is a chapter ahead of us. That's the way it is with youth. You know, you got to really work to keep up with them. And last week, you may remember that right toward the end of Jennifer's sharing, she talked about the death of Stephen. And that was recorded in Acts chapter 7. And now what we're going to look at today is following the stoning of Stephen. And this is the first time that Saul is mentioned in the Bible. Saul, of course, who after his conversion to Christ became known as Paul. And so let's look at this together. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word, and hold this here for a time, Mark. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. That's what I want to focus on this morning. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Let's read it together. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. In every age, every generation, in every culture, in every circumstance, including times of great persecution and oppression, the church has always grown in enthusiasm, in joy, in influence, and in number when it has followed this simple strategy. It includes three parts. Those who had been scattered, part one, preached the word, part two, wherever they went, part three. Now, in order to get a hold of this simple teaching, I want to start in the middle. This is kind of like a pie, and you look at it, and you're not sure whether it's an elderberry pie, or a blueberry pie, or a blackberry pie, or a many-berry pie, and so we're going to take a piece right out of the middle and try to figure it out, because this statement, they preached the word, it is not really an adequate understanding of what Dr. Luke, the physician, is credited with writing the book of Acts. He wrote the gospel according to Luke and also wrote the book of Acts, and they were meant to be volume 1 and volume 2. Luke, the gospel, was about the life of Jesus. The book of Acts is about the life of the church and records about 30 years of the life of the first century church. And so This is not a message just for preachers, okay? Because if it was, it would be pointless to preach it, because I'd have to go look in a mirror and preach to myself, I guess. Though there are a few others of you here who have preached in season and out of season. But it doesn't, in the original Greek, it doesn't use the word kouroussō, which is the word to preach. In fact, what it says is literally those who had been scattered good newsed the word. It doesn't say preach. It takes the noun euangelia, good news. We typically use that as a noun, and it turns it into a verb, euangelizomai. And it says, and that's why it's translated this way, because it's sort of awkward to translate from the Greek language into the English language and portray the meaning of it. But it means literally that as they were scattered, they became the good news wherever they went. They acted out the good news wherever they went. They lived the good news wherever they went. They delivered good news wherever they went. And they did it in a way that could not simply be expressed in words. A friend of mine from Nigeria, Dauda Gava, is his name. Dauda is Hausa for David. David Gava, David from the village of Gava, and it happens to be where my family lived the first time we were in Nigeria. Dauda just finished his PhD, and I got a copy of his doctoral dissertation, and he devoted a chapter to the arrival of brethren missionaries in that area back in 1923. And I want to share this paragraph written from Dauda's doctoral dissertation. The paragraph begins, "Actions speak louder than words. Missionaries discovered that people suffered from all kinds of intestinal parasites and bacterial diseases. Traditional or tribal taboos and superstitious beliefs had prevented people from finding ways to free themselves from such conditions. And so the missionaries, sometimes even before unpacking their luggage, immediately attended to the health needs of the people around them. They cleaned and dressed chronic tropical ulcers, they treated malaria and all other kinds of sickness. This was indeed the true good news to Nigerians." In other words, they didn't come merely with words of good news, they came as good news to the people of Nigeria in the village of Gava. And so what Dr. Luke is really talking about is something that St. Francis said. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the good news at all times. Use words if you must." Isn't that a good one? Preach the good news at all times. Use words if you must. And so what Luke is describing here is a lifestyle that where we're living out the good news. And sometimes that also includes using words. Now, one of the things one of the ways that I brag on us when I'm out among non-brethren is the passion we have to go to places of need and bail mud in flood areas and rebuild houses in areas where there have been hurricanes, go to places where children are suffering post-traumatic stress syndrome, where there have been tornadoes and all sorts of other places, and be the good news. But My favorite professor in seminary, Dale Brown, said, you know, brethren kind of brag about not needing to preach the good news because we live the good news. But he says, we don't understand that living includes speaking. So if we're living the good news, we're also speaking the good news. And I think that's a fair a correction to our understanding of living out the good news. If we're living it, we're also speaking it. And that's the part of living out the good news that I think we need to continue to work on a little bit harder. We need to learn to speak what it is that we're sharing. Jesus put it this way. He said, even if you so much as give a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. And that's really what we're talking about here. That's really what Luke is talking about when he calls us to good news, the word. What he's talking about doing these acts in Jesus' name. Because if you remember the prologue to the Gospel according to John, and the Word was with God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when Luke refers to good newsing the Word, or as it's translated in NIV, preaching the Word, the Word is Jesus. And so what he's talking about is sharing good news, but doing it in Jesus' name. And when we do good things, when we do acts of kindness in Jesus' name, it makes them far more powerful than when we simply do them as acts of kindness in themselves. Let me try to illustrate that this way. I have a print here of a painting that I like a lot, and it's a painting that's signed simply Vincent. And if you're familiar with the work of this artist, we all know that his last name is Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh. And I like this. Of course, the original copy sold for millions of dollars, and I got a print at Walmart for $3.98 or something like that. Now, that's one painting with one name, but I have another painting that's even more valuable to me. It's this painting. And the reason this painting is so valuable to me is because of the name that's on this painting. It says Ben. Ben is my son. Just celebrated his 34th birthday. I think he was 30 when he did this, right, Carol? Yeah. To me personally, honestly, it's more valuable to me than a Van Gogh because of the name. And when we do good works in Jesus' name, the Father in heaven imparts greater value to those things than when we do them in our name. You know, that when we do them so that people will think that we're really something else. When we are the good news in Jesus' name, there is great power to it. Now, that's the first slice of this piece of pie. Let's look at the third slice of this piece of pie. Luke says that they preached the good news, or they were the good news, or they brought good news wherever they went. Wherever they went. Now, I happen to know that many of you have gone to a variety of places to bring good news. I know you've been to Chalmette, right? How many others here have gone on a work project to Chalmette? Yeah, look at all those hands there. How many of you went to to Tennessee last summer, and we're part of that work camp. Yeah, some more hands there. I know Becky and Tessa went out to North or South Dakota last year to the Indian Reservation. Anybody else go there? Oh, you're just scratching your neck, huh? Yeah. Okay. Where else have we gone? Who has gone somewhere to live out, to act out the good news and share help? Go ahead. Raise your hand real high. Yeah. Some of us have gone places near. Some of us have gone places far. But we've gone and brought good news to many, many places. That's good. I don't want to say anything that would detract from that need to go in a very intentional way to places of need and share the love of Jesus, the good news of Jesus Christ with our lives. But Luke says that the early church, wherever they went, they brought the good news. In other words, what he's saying, what he's calling for is a lifestyle of good newsing. That wherever we go, whether it's to take some cookies to a neighbor, or to prepare a meal for someone who's come home from the hospital, or to write a letter to an inmate in prison, wherever we go, we are a source of good news. And we need to understand that that's part of our lifestyle. I was at a youth conference years ago where they did a drama of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, anytime you mention that phrase, judgment seat of Christ, doesn't that just give you warm fuzzies all over the place? Doesn't that just say, hallelujah, judgment seat of Christ? Yeah. Well, the cool thing about this drama was, as people came before the throne of Christ at the end of time, rather than reading off a list of all of their sins, they were read off a list of all of the people they had impacted in a positive way. And it really hit me as I was watching this that we don't have any idea of how many lives we have touched in a positive way. I occasionally will get a note from someone from 15 years ago who said, you know, for the past 15 years, I've thought about this thing that you said in your sermon, and it really has changed my life. And it's like, whoa, did I say that? You know, kind of a thing. Or Carol in Sunday school class today mentioned that when we returned back to Africa after being away for 20 years, and we went to the village of Gava where we had worked 20 years earlier, people came up to us and singing songs that we had taught them, asking about our children, remembered all the names of our children, were asking what they were doing. And it was amazing to us that we were there for such a brief time, 2 decades earlier, and yet there was an impact that our lives had that went far beyond anything that we imagined. And that is true of every one of us gathered here today. We will one day stand before Christ, and I believe, well, there may be a sin or two that will be mentioned, but I believe that there will be a long list of names that will be mentioned, of people that we brought joy to, people whose needs we met, some shoelaces that we stooped to tie that we hadn't even thought about. And so let's not forget that. As we leave this place, as we go about and do the things that we do, let us remember that we're called to be good news givers, to lead a lifestyle of being the good news wherever we go. Well, that's the final piece of pie, but now I want to go back and look at the first piece of pie, where it talks about them being scattered. Now, it's an interesting thing. At the very beginning of Acts, there's that famous statement where Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so at the very beginning of the church, they were charged with leaving Jerusalem and going to the very ends of the earth. But for the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, nobody left Jerusalem. They all stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't leave Jerusalem until what? Until they had to leave. Fear for their lives. And you know what? That is so true. That we stay in our comfortable places. We refer to them as our comfort zones. Until we're pushed out. You know, that's what the mother eagle does. The little eaglets would grow to full maturity in the nest if it wasn't for the mother eaglet pushing them out and then swooping down to catch them as they learn how to fly. And it reminds me of the old joke. I'm sure you've heard it a dozen times, where Johnny's mom came to him one morning and said, "Johnny, it's time to get up for church." 15 minutes later, she went back, "Johnny, time to get up for church." 10 minutes later, she went back, "Johnny, you're not up yet? Come on, you're going to be late for church." And Johnny said, "Oh, Ma, give me one good reason why I need to go to church." She said, "Well, I'll give you two. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembly of believers." That's the first reason. And the second reason is, you're the pastor. Yeah, you know what? Even pastors have those comfort zones where we want to wine, dine, and recline. And all of us, if we're going to live out the good news, need to be willing to leave our comfort zones and meet others in their comfort zone. You get that? We have to be willing to leave our comfort zone and visit others' comfort zones, meet them there. You know, one of the realities of the world in which we live is that folks outside of the church, this is no longer considered one of their comfort zones. And I know we keep hoping and praying and dreaming and strategizing, how can we get people into these doors? Maybe if we build a new entrance, which, by the way, is done, and there wasn't a single hallelujah in the sharing of joys. Boy, there were plenty of gripes about how long's it taken, and then it finally gets done. Not a peep is raised about that. But we're just so human, aren't we? Yeah. So we think of all of these ways of trying to get people here into our comfort zone. And they better like our hymns. And they better, you know, like the way we do things around here. And they better not sit in my pew, you know. And on and on and on we could go. Well, this is our comfort zone. And we, folks, it's okay to be comfortable, and it's okay to spend some of our time in our comfort zones, but we must be willing to go out and step into the places where other people find themselves comfortable and embrace them and be the good news for them there. I'm not talking about going to Africa. I'm not talking about going off to seminary and studying preaching and theology. And I'm talking about cookies and cards and hellos, how you doing? I'm talking about talking to somebody at a complete stranger at the gas station when you're filling up, and just trying to be a source of joy and cheer in that person's life. And it's amazing to me that every time I take the time to do that, and I'm one of these guys who I rush here and I rush there, and often I'm not as present as I need to be. But those times when I take the time to actually engage in conversation with a complete stranger, it's amazing how willing people are to talk and how willing they are to share their lives with a stranger who will take a minute or two to engage them. Talking about sending a note to someone in prison, visiting someone in the hospital, inviting a new neighbor over for dinner, or taking them out to dinner. These are all things that we can do and love to do. We just need to do them outside of the relationships that we're most comfortable with, outside of our comfort zones. And that was actually a challenge that Rachel laid before us this morning. Remember that? That she challenged our young ones to take the time to be good news, to be a source of good news to their friend. And that's what we're talking about here. And so let us, as we go from place to place, live the good news wherever we go. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn.